Shalom. This is the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Today we will be revisiting Sister Billy's classic series on the Book of Daniel. So get your Bible and your notebook as we study the living Word of God.
For the sake of the tape, we want to review, and for some of you who perhaps have just come in for these meetings and are not as well acquainted as this local assembly, we are at the Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas, which is associated with the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And this church has been assigned something from the Lord. I believe it has an international scope to it, and that this is the place which will flow like a fountain out to the church in the earth, this message that God wants us to have. And it began here, at least as far as we can see. God's beginnings, sometimes we don't see. But we do see that something very remarkable happened on August 29, 1996, when Justice Duplessy came here from South Africa, had a visitation in the nighttime, and heard the audible voice of the Lord give him a message from the Lord for this church, for this hour, and I believe for his church in the earth. Now, just as a way of introducing to you who is Brother Justice Duplessy, I want to introduce to you his brother, who is more famous, more well-known, and that's David Duplessy. There's a book written about David Duplessy called Mr. Pentecost, his biography. And it was my pleasure to meet him in about 1985 in a prayer conference. We'd had four prayer meetings and so around the country, and because of that, we got a letter inviting us to a prayer conference near Washington, D.C., in which someone, I can't remember who, wrote letters to prayer leaders from all over the United States and crossing a vast web of peoples. And so I went to the conference, and Brother David Duplessy was one of the morning speakers. I went in the early morning to hear him, and after I heard him, I decided to skip the rest of the morning. And I felt that I did this at the leading of the Lord. And so I went down to the cafeteria, and there in the cafeteria was Brother David Duplessy with about five or six other people who had been led to skip the rest of the morning. And Brother Duplessy is like Brother Hagin. I just came from a meeting with Brother Hagin in Minneapolis. And it's one thing to have the meeting out here, and it's quite another thing to get to have lunch with Brother Hagin and have a continuing meeting. And these are who are so anointed, they just seem to give forth, especially to we younger ones. And it's such a blessing, those times. And so he gave forth of himself, David Duplessy, in that place. He told us of his life and his ministry, and prophesied to me to go somewhere in the earth, which I don't even tell about doing that. But it was one of the remarkable things that happened in my life. But he told us about when he lived in South Africa, and his father was a pastor there, and they had come up under John G. Lake, and there was a group of churches, and Smith Wigglesworth came to South Africa. And he was interpreting for Smith Wigglesworth. And he was in his office very, very early one morning, and he said that Smith Wigglesworth came into the office. Wigglesworth was a strongly built man, and in his demeanor, he was very strong. And he came over to Brother Duplessy, and Brother Duplessy, you know what to watch for this time. We've had a morning service already. Brother Wigglesworth pinned Brother David Duplessy's shoulders to the wall. And he began to prophesy about what God was going to do in the earth. He said there will be three great moves. The first will be a move of the Spirit of God in which people from the denominational world will receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Then there will be a great move in the earth in which there will be a teaching of the Word of God. There's a move of the Spirit and then the move of the Word. And he said this will be followed by the Word and the Spirit together, and that will be followed by the coming of the Lord. And he said, you, Duplessy, are going to have a key part, David Duplessy, in this move of the Spirit in the denominational world. He said, I will not live to see it. Wigglesworth died in 1947, and this move, which we've come to call the charismatic move, came in the late 60s and the 70s, when people like little Baptist girls like me got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. And there was a great move, and it was prophesied that day. Wigglesworth prophesied to David Duplessis, this is going to go throughout all the denominational world, including Catholics. And God is going to use you to reach the Catholics, especially. And so then he left. And David said that later on in the day, still morning, Wigglesworth greeted him and said, good morning, David. How are you today? And David said, well, we've already quite had a round over here in my office, and you've already seen me. And Wigglesworth said, that was the prophet of the Lord on the way with the word of the Lord, greeting no man in the way. This is Wigglesworth. Good morning, David. How are you? And so Brother David began to pray about that prophecy, which is what you should do. And he realized that in his denomination, to have anything at all to do with Catholics bordered on heresy. And he said he had to pray, and he saw as he prayed that he had to lay everything on the altar, all of his life on the altar. And the last and biggest thing he had to lay on the altar was his own ministry, his own reputation among his peers. He had to put it up there because they were not going to understand it, and they did not. They required of him his papers. He had to give them up. They later asked him to take them back after it all proved out. But he did that. He was willing to put us all on the altar for the Lord. And the rest is history now. We've seen it come to pass. He shared with us particularly what he felt God had done through him with the Catholics. He told us that he had known three popes and that had been in their offices and known them well. And he said that with Pope John, he considered this the apex of it all. Pope John said to him one day, who he said was a very wonderful born-again man. He said, spirit-filled man. And he said, Pope John said to him one day, David, if the Christians like you could have an audience with me and make a request of me, what would they request? And David said, I have no idea. He said, Brother David, if you could ask one request of me and I would grant it, what would it be? And he said, sir, that you would allow the Catholics to read their Bibles. Up until that time, throughout all the Dark Ages, Catholics were not allowed to read their Bibles. They were told that they were not able to read their Bibles, that a priest had to give it to them. They were told that some of the priests would tell them, I don't know on what level, but at least no down in Louisiana where I lived at one time, one man told us that his priest had told him you would go crazy if you read the Bible, not to read it. And his life was so horrible that he wanted to go crazy and lose his mind. So he got the Bible out and he started turning the pages. And he wondered on which page it was that you would lose your mind. That was years ago. But that was the feeling. And within the week after Duplessis said that to John, Pope John said that to Duplessis, he made a decree that Catholics in all the world could read their Bibles. And so millions of people in one day picked up the Holy Word of God and began to read it who had never read it before. And he considered that that was one of the apexes of what God did through him. He also was shown by the Lord how to lead Catholics into being baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was given the phrase the Lord showed him, tell them to follow Mary. And so Mary followed Jesus to the cross, and then she followed him to the upper room, and she received the Holy Ghost. And so it was a very marvelous thing. Now, Brother Justice Duplessis from South Africa, who came here on August 29, is the brother of his more famous brother, David, and a very holy man. I'm asking the pastors if they will come now and give you an update on what happened when he came here to set the scene for you who are listening by tape and for you who are first-timers, and exactly what was said from the Lord, why we are here, and how we are doing our best to obey him.
That Thursday morning, we were preparing for prayer school. I'd asked Brother Justice to come and to speak to prayer school that morning. At 10:30, he was not here, and we were a little concerned for him because he was always so prompt. And we went ahead to start the service and the music while Pastor and I waited in the back room. When he arrived, he came in the door, shaking and quivering, as white as a sheet, just pale as he could be. And he he was saying, I didn't think it could happen. I just didn't think it could happen. I never would have thought this. And I thought, oh my, something's happened. And I brought him in. I rushed outside to his driver. And his driver had tears. And I said, what happened, Ken? What happened? And he said, oh, Pastor, Jesus came to him in the night and spoke to him audibly all night long about our church. I burst into tears. The presence of God was so strong at that time. Immediately came back into the room, and Pastor Duplessis was still shaking his head saying, I just never thought that it could be like that. I've never experienced that before. And he took me by the hand and he pulled me close. He said, dear sister, if I ever needed you, it's now. Please pray for me.
When he came out, he delivered that word to us. Many of us have heard this, but it bears repeating. He said, first thing he said to me, you're going to speak to the church this morning. You're speaking to the ministries on prayer. I want you to be my mouthpiece. Speak to them slowly, gently, with divine urgency, because they have a dream and they have a vision which must be realized because I've given that to them. They are my people, but they are a people of destiny. And so be warned that nothing should be said that I have not said to you. Say it with compassion. Assure them that I know of the love that is amongst them. But that should increase tenfold in view of what is going to happen shortly. Speak to Kenneth Copeland Ministries and the International Church. Tell them that I regard them as a people of destiny as much as I regarded those four young people, part of the banished nation far away from Jerusalem, waiting for the day when Jerusalem would once again be the home and the center of my people. You intended to speak on Daniel and certain excerpts from that. It is good, because that is within the guidance of my spirit and within the center of my will. But forget your notes. You're not sermonizing. Regard it as a prophetic spirit that has come to you through me. Tell them that the secret of those four young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the secret was that they frequently prayed, although they found themselves in a strange culture. They fasted. And as they will do what I am to tell you to do, they will feel my spirit resting upon them, equipping them, empowering them to go forth and be my people in a world that is not very different from what they found themselves in. There are so many strange cultures in America.
Thank you for listening to today's radio message. The classic study series by Dr. Billy Brim entitled Daniel is now available in an 11 CD series for a special radio offer of $55 plus shipping. You can order in three ways: on the internet website at www.billybrim.org, or by calling our book and tape department at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at Billy Brim Ministries, P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. For meeting and ministry information, please call our ministry offices at 417-336-4877. From all of us at Billy Brim Ministries, Shalom!